want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is A Right Now Faith and a Right Now God for a Right Now Miracle. We pray this blesses your life.
John chapter 11, verse 20 through 44, it says, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, who are we talking about in this story? Anybody know? Lazarus, right? So this is a biblical account you're probably pretty familiar with. But she said, if you had been here, and I want you to take note of what she said, if you had been here in the past, thinking past, my brother would not have died. Verse 22, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now, she was on the cusp of being in the right place when she said, I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And then he tells her, I mean, that had to get him excited that she said that. And then he says, your brother will rise again. But then notice her answer. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am. Everybody say, I am. I am. I am the resurrection. Jesus had to spend a whole lot of time correcting thinking. That's what the Word of God does. It corrects wrong ideas and thoughts and perceptions. And so Jesus, in this situation, is having to correct some thinking because we get caught up in our thinking in a certain way we've always thought, and we get stuck there. And Jesus was coming to break that open. And so she says, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. And now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So here we see it again. If you had been here, okay, past. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Now, understand, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. That's two different things. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And in verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, but yet the most profound, Jesus wept. Now, listen, I believe there's more than one reason Jesus wept. I believe Jesus wept because he saw the pain that people he loved was going through. This speaks volumes to us. Notice what it said before that. It said that he was deeply moved and troubled. That deeply moved part, I believe, is based on the fact that he was very compassionate and still is very compassionate. I have heard people over the years just point an accusing finger at God and say, he doesn't care about me. If God loved me, he'd have done this, 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 and this. And they act as though God does not have any concern or compassion for them. But the truth of the matter is we know he already proved that through sending Jesus. and what Jesus did for us. But God was moved then, Jesus was moved then, and Jesus is still moved today. But being moved by that compassion alone is not what brings about the miracle. Okay, He has compassion, and we need to know that He does love us. And that word for troubled is actually the picture of a horse snorting, like when a horse is angry, if you've ever seen that. So it wasn't just a deep compassion He had, but He was angry at the situation. Why? Because He was angry with what the devil had been doing to humanity. He was angry at what sin has been doing and wreaking havoc on humanity. So we see the full scape of emotions here in Jesus, and then He wept. And I believe that part of the reason He wept was not just because He was feeling sorry for them, but He wept because the people did not really understand who He was and what He came to do. And they did not really understand what God had given them and put in their midst in that moment. And so it tells us in verse 36, after Jesus wept, then the Jews said, "See how He loved him." See, again, they thought it was just about that He loved Lazarus and He was crying because He's going to miss him and all that, like we do when we lose someone we love. But it was much deeper than that. See, if you remember, Jesus, as He looked over Jerusalem, wept over Jerusalem. He wept because they could not see. They could not see who He was. They could not grasp the truth. And so it says in verse 37, "But some of them said, 'Could not He who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?'" Jesus, once more, deeply moved, because again, they just aren't getting it, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," He said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor." The King James says, "By this time he stinketh, for he has been there 4 days. And so listen, if there was ever any difficult situation that a person could walk in, it's that one. When someone's not only been dead, but been dead for 4 days to the point of the body beginning to decompose. And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And by the way, there are some people who believe that sickness and death glorifies God. Listen, the glory of God was when the power of God showed up to change the situation. That's the glory of God. You would see the glory of God if you believed. In verse 41, "So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.' When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.'" And I believe that he had to be very specific there, by the way. He had to say, "Lazarus, come out." Because if he had just said, "Come out," there'd have been people popping up everywhere. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." And by the way, that's a message all in itself, that once you're resurrected, you got to get rid of the grave clothes, right? They got to come off. It's called discipleship. It's called getting your mind renewed. Now, a lot of church folk have this kind of confession. They'll say things like, "Well, you know, whatever will be." And this always amazes me. I have heard people who've been in church for years and years make that kind of a statement. "Whatever will be, will be. Only God knows the future, so we'll just put our trust in God." Well, that sounds spiritual, but he wants to get us beyond that. Whatever he wants us to have, we'll have. Anybody here ever heard somebody say that? Maybe you said it yourself. Maybe you heard yourself say it. And if he doesn't want us to have it, well, then we just won't get it. And people have this idea that, you know, we go through life and just whatever God wants to happen is going to happen. I deal with this all the time. All the time, especially when people die early or people die in a way that they should not have died, where you know it was a demonic attack on their life, or you know that it was sinful behavior that caused this. And people always, not always, but a lot of people will say, "Well, you know, it was just their time and God wanted to take them. And if God's ready to take you, there's nothing you can do to stop it." And they forget, yeah, well, the devil wants to take you too. And there are some things you can do to stop it. You don't just go through life expecting God's going to do this, 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 and this, and we have no responsibility. We have responsibility. We have the responsibility to renew our minds and allow the Word of God to cause faith to rise up in us to take a hold of the promises He's given us. And so, you know, the Islamic people have that idea that, well, whatever the will of God is, that's just the way it's going to be. If it's good or if it's bad, it was the will of God. And so that's how they can get away with, you know, or they think they can get away with suicide bombing and everything else. Well, if it happened, if it worked, it must have been the will of God. But God's will does not always happen because we don't always cooperate with His will. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance, yet we know most people don't. So God's will does not always happen. We have a responsibility. And so thousands of people, good people, I believe God-loving, church-going people, thousands and thousands, maybe even millions, have died early deaths or just given in to sickness and disease without a fight because they have no idea how the will of God works and how faith works. Multitudes of good, saved, blood-washed people, sometimes Holy Spirit-filled people, believers, who have lived weak, spiritually anemic lives, always in lack, because they have not understood that it doesn't matter what God has promised or provided or what is available to you. You have to get in a position to receive it. I've used this analogy before, but to me, it just really clears it up. But, you know, it's football season right now. And a lot of people are watching the playoffs and so on and so forth. And understand that it doesn't matter how good a quarterback is. If the receiver is not going where he's supposed to go, the ball's not going to go to the receiver. When I was a kid, we used to, you know, we'd get together and we'd play football. And typically the way it worked was whoever was the quarterback, who usually was probably the most athletic kid, was the quarterback or the oldest kid, would tell everybody else. They would tell the short, fat kids like me, okay, you block, right? Block, block. I always was told to block. You block. And they'd tell the skinny, fast kids, and you go out for a pass. But there was no plan. It wasn't like a, you know, a schematic. Now they football, it's like a science. I mean, everything is thought through and they train and train and train. And that quarterback, whenever that quarterback is training for a play, he's not always even throwing to the receiver. He's throwing to the spot. The receiver's job and the quarterback's job is to get the timing right. That at this time, that ball is going to be in that spot. And if you're in that spot, you have an opportunity to receive that ball. They don't just randomly, you know, unless the play is broken up or something, they don't just randomly throw the ball out there trying to reach a receiver. No, it's very meticulous. That's why you can have two people with blazing speed and one is literally right on top of the other as they're running. And that ball can get put right in a perfect spot where only the receiver can get it. Now, a quarterback is flawed just like everybody, and they don't always throw the ball to the right spot, but God is not flawed. Listen, God throws better than Joe Burrow, okay? God throws better than any quarterback that you might think is wonderful. God never misses His mark. We do sometimes. We go to the wrong spot. Anybody ever watch a football game and the quarterback reaches back and he throws the ball and the receiver's nowhere around the ball and everybody's doing, what? What in the world? The receiver wasn't even there because he's throwing to a spot. The receiver went to the wrong place. Okay? And so that's how it is. Now we have to put ourselves in a place to receive. That's what faith does. But that happens by doing it God's way and going where God said to go and doing it in His timing. So listen, it will not fall on you like ripe cherries from a tree. My assignment today is to stir up in you the spirit of faith that does not simply sit down waiting on the blessings of God to fall on you. And I've seen a lot of people do that. Oh, well, you know, God's going to do it. I'm sitting around doing nothing, but I believe I'm being faithful because I say, well, God will do it one day. But today, like Caleb, armed with the promises of God, you will exercise a divine prerogative of faith. I believe that that's happening today. The Lord already told me when I was preparing for this, I'm going to do some supernatural stuff in those services tomorrow. The pastor Cindy asked me what I was preaching on. And I said, well, I'm not telling you. You'll just have to find out, because usually she gets up to speak and what she's going to say is perfectly in line.
Okay.
And she wasn't here in the first service, so Brother Solomon gets up and it just perfectly flows exactly what the Lord is wanting to do. And so, thank God, the Holy Spirit knows how to do what he does. Amen. And he does it well. So Caleb received his mountain because he exercised his rights according to the promise. Now, it's always according to the promise. And many people never receive what God promised them because they have no idea what God even promised them, right? But Caleb, he still, even though he believed that promise, he still had to go get his claim. He still had to go get it. And the same is true for you and I. You can die singing, you know, songs about the blessings of God, and you can sing about, you know, the will of God and the wonders of God, or you can stand up in your faith armed with the promises of God and actually press your claim of faith and actually receive now what God has already made available to you. Is there anybody here who wants to receive it now? Listen, if you need healing now, then healing is for you now. You're not going to need healing in heaven. I know I've said that many times. You don't need healing in heaven. Everything's going to be made perfect in heaven. You need healing now. Jesus went through what he went through, and he was beaten and bloodied and took all them stripes upon himself, not so that we could be healed in heaven, but so that we can be healed now. Everybody say now. You won't need miraculous supply in heaven. Prosperity is for now. In heaven, you won't need it. You won't need supernatural intervention in your marriage in heaven. God wants to do it now. In fact, I know this might go against the grain for some people. Some people would, this kind of make you sad when you think this, and then some people might rejoice over this. But when you get to heaven, you ain't going to be married anyway. You know, some people get depressed over that, and some people think, oh, thank God. You know. You won't need supernatural intervention in your marriage in heaven, but you definitely need it now. You won't need victory over the enemy in heaven. You need it here, and you need it now. And so I want to talk to you today about a right now faith and a right now God for a right now miracle. Mary and Martha both had faith in Jesus. It's not that they didn't have faith in him. Their words show that they did have faith in Jesus, but they had a past faith and a future faith. We'll say it like this. They had a yesterday faith and a tomorrow faith. Or maybe we could say it like this. They had an expired faith and a not yet faith. But they had no today faith. No right now faith. And somebody here today, maybe you're like Mary and Martha. You need a miracle of some kind. It doesn't matter what kind it is. But you need a miracle. And you need the resurrection power of God to manifest in your behalf. And it may be in your finances or your family. It may be a resurrection of your marriage. It may be your health. You may need the resurrection power of God to drive disease from your body that doctors can't fix. Autoimmune disease, that's a big thing here lately. COVID has really exposed that. Okay? Those kind of things. Listen, don't just settle with, well, I guess this is just the thing I'm going to have to deal with the rest of my life. This is my cross to bear. No, Jesus already bore that. Our cross to bear is to put down our own self-will and our own thinking and crucify that flesh on a regular basis. That's the cross we bear. And so it may be mentally or emotionally. Maybe you've been attacked in your mind or your emotions. A spirit of fear or a spirit of despair has been on you. I'm going to tell you, over the last couple of years, that spirit of fear and that spirit of despair has come over people like crazy. And I'm not just talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about there are people who will not go to church on a Sunday because they are scared to death to get sick. Now, listen, I'm not saying we shouldn't use good common sense. And we encourage people, if you're running fever like I was a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, if you're not feeling well, well, don't go get anybody else sick. But don't let fear be the reason that you're not going to serve God. So that spirit of fear has overcome. I mean, it is overcoming many of God's people, and it doesn't have to. You don't have to let that happen. Or maybe today it is your children, like Brother Solomon talked about. Maybe they're rebelling against you and against God, and they're making your life absolutely miserable. One thing is undeniably clear from this text, that it doesn't matter how impossible it may look or feel, because it doesn't get much more impossible than that, what Jesus was dealing with. All things are possible with God. And another thing we see is this. God is not afraid of that which stinketh. And we got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of stuff in our life many times that stinketh, and we do our best to try to hide it, and we don't want anybody to know, and we're dumb enough to even try to hide it from God. But can I tell you? No, you stinketh, and everybody knows, and God definitely knows. So you might as well let him deal with it. The stench of the mess that you were in does not scare God away. All God needs from you is a right now faith. Your miracle is here right now. Everybody say, right now. Your deliverance is here right now. Your healing is here right now. Your restoration is here right now. Your breakthrough is here right now. Your resurrection is here right now. Now let me give you a few scriptures. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2b, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Romans 5:9, since we have now been justified by his blood. Romans 5:11, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Over and over again, we're seeing this word. 1 John 3:2, dear friends, now we are children of God. Somebody say, right now. Say it like my old daddy, right now. Somebody say, it's mine now. Say, I receive it now. Now tell your neighbor again, we need a right now faith in a right now God for a right now miracle. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is here right now. The same resurrection miracle life is here right now. Now notice this, such a simple thing. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Most people live their life like he's the same yesterday and forever, but they forget today. The same Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead is here, right here today, to resurrect your God-given dreams, to resurrect your health, your finances, your marriage, your family, and any other promise that he has given you. And like Mary, all believers, listen, all believers believe in the historical Jesus. They couldn't call themselves a believer if they didn't. All believers believe in the historical Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago, who healed the sick, who delivered the demon-possessed, and healed the oppressed, and opened the blind eyes and unstopped deaf ears. All believers believe in that historical Jesus who died on the cross for their sin. Had somebody tell me, you know, if I'd seen some of the things that Jesus did, then I wouldn't have had a problem being a believer. I'd say, man, Jesus is still doing those things. He's doing it through his body. He's doing it through us. You just got to show up to where you can see it happen. You got to put yourself in a position to see those things. I tell people about miracles that we've seen happen here. They said, I never saw that. I said, well, where were you? I mean, if I saw something like that, I'd be at church every Sunday. Well, yeah, well, you're not at church every Sunday, so that's why you don't see it. All believers believe in this historical Jesus who died on the cross for their sins. And on the other side of that is all believers believe in a future Jesus coming with his kingdom and with all power and all authority in the future. They don't have a problem believing that. But many believers have missed the right now Jesus. We sang about it this morning. The great I am. Not the great I was, not the great I will be, the great I am. It's the Jesus who lives in the now. And so the Jesus who spoiled principalities and powers, the Jesus who disarmed and defeated the devil, the Jesus who took the keys of death and hell and rose triumphant over the power of hell, that's the Jesus we're talking about. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus declares, I am, there we see it again, I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades or hell. So again, he's stressing, yeah, there's the past and yeah, there's the future, but how about right now? The same Jesus gave those keys, the keys to the kingdom. He gave those keys to us. And he said this to us, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. In fact, the literal translation is, has already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So it's a past fact, but it's also a present fact. It is right now. And so that right now Jesus is living in his church through the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that was on Jesus' life is now on the church. I've said it many times. Jesus is the head, but we are the body. And as the body, we can do everything Jesus did while he was on this earth. The only thing we can't do is die for the sins of humanity. He already took care of that. Everything else he did, we can do as the body of Christ. We are not limited if we understand, truly understand, that it's a right now thing. And so that same power that was on his life is now on our life. In fact, Jesus himself said, in this world, you are like me. Scripture says in this world, we are like Jesus. The same power that was on his life is on us. Most people have a really hard time grasping that. And I'll tell you, you got to get it in your spirit. It's got to go beyond understanding in your mind. The kingdom of God is within us. Everything you need is in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in you, which is the church. It's in the church. The kingdom of God is not just a historical fact or a future promise, although those are true. The kingdom of God is a right now reality. Mary and Martha needed a miracle, but Jesus knew that in order to experience his power, he had to get them into the realm of the right now, right here, right now faith. Your miracle, your deliverance, your breakthrough, your healing is in the realm of right here and right now. And I've said this many times, but you have to get past in order to operate in that kind of right now faith. You cannot rely on your mind. You cannot rely on your brain. You got to get past that thing. It's always trying to say, no, 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 you can't have it. Always. Your healing is in the realm of right here, right now faith. Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. Jesus is Lord right now. He's the healer right now. He is peace right now. He is joy right now. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit right now. He's not the great I was, and he's not the great I will be. He is the great I am. And everything Jesus was and will be, he is now by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit within us. I think if we could ever truly catch that, I mean, literally, this is not figuratively, literally, everything, all the power, all the anointing that Jesus had within him to do what he did is in the body of Christ. That's why we're called the body of Christ. He is now, by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. True winning, overcoming, appropriating Bible faith is always now. Now listen, I'm a man just like you. I'm a human being just like you. Don't think that I don't have to struggle in those areas of my mind constantly attacking as well and saying it's impossible, it can't happen, so on and so forth. I have to get to the place where I'm hearing what the Spirit says. And the Spirit speaks to my spirit, not to my head. And when I can align myself with that, and if I'm willing to obey him and what he tells me to do, what he tells me to say, or where he tells me to go, then I can get to that place of commanded blessing where that thing he wants to do in my life will be there. It will manifest. True winning and overcoming and appropriating faith is always now. And so many of God's people have allowed hope to take the place of true Bible faith. It's that place that only true Bible faith can hold. Now, hope is a beautiful thing. How many of you are glad you have hope? I believe we need hope. People are killing themselves and everything else because they have no hope. But there is another place. Hope is beautiful and hope is necessary. And true biblical hope means an expected thing, but it's still expected in the future. And so faith is about now. Hope is not enough. Hope is always future, but faith is always now. Hope is the eye, catch this, hope is the eye that sees the promise, but faith is the hand that takes the promise. Hope is the eye that sees the promise, but faith is the hand that takes the promise. Mary and Martha had a beautiful hope for the resurrection of Lazarus in the sweet by and by. And so many people have this understanding or this thought that in the sweet by and by, it'll all be wonderful. You know, the song, Won't It Be Wonderful There, right? We have this, and it will be. But they had no faith for the right now resurrection. And many of us have come today with a beautiful, sparkling hope for great things from God. I hear it all the time from people. I know God's going to do this. I know that God's going to do this. I know this is going to happen. I know. And that's wonderful. But you need to get beyond that He's going to do it. And so I've heard people say, I know God's going to heal me. I know God's going to turn it around. I know God's going to deliver me. I know God's going to break this addiction in my life. I know God's going to do this, going to do that, going to do this. And that's good, because you have viewed the promise of with the eye of hope. Now, let the hand of faith reach out and take a hold of the promise, because God wants to manifest it. Doesn't the scripture say in Colossians 3:1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God? In other words, he's saying, live now like you were already in heaven. Live now like you're already in heaven. That's why sometimes I encourage people in church service, let's praise Him like you're already in heaven. Praise Him like you just walked through the gates of heaven. Don't wait until you get there to praise Him. Don't wait until you get there to worship Him. Praise Him now like you will on that day when you first lay your eyes on Him. And it's the same way. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is right now in heaven. That's a prayer of faith. That's what He wants us to pray. Listen, today, I believe today is your day for a miracle. I don't know what kind of miracles you need. We don't have a real big group in here today, but I guarantee you within this group, there's some folks who need some miracles. Today is your day. Today is your day for breakthrough. Today is your day to possess your promise. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You've talked about it. You've dreamed about it. You've seen it in the imagination of hope. And hope admires and imagines, and hope expects in a future sense. But faith receives now. Faith is a possessor. Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Jesus isn't just saying these words. He's not using hyperbole. He's not exaggerating. Everything that God has promised you is waiting for your claim of faith. The woman with the issue of blood, check this out. The woman with the issue of blood, she had to hope that she could be healed, but she had to do something beyond that. Her hope brought her to Jesus. Wonderful. Our hope will bring us to Jesus. But it was her faith that actually reached out into the realm of the supernatural power of God and received her miracle. Her hope brought him there, but she could have just showed up and been like all the rest of the people throwing around Jesus. But she said, no, my faith is right here, right now. He's right here, right now. I'm about to get what I came to get right here and right now. It was her faith that reached out into the supernatural realm. Amen. Matthew 9:22, Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. Yes. Faith is a possessor, true faith. And again, I've said this many times before, but faith is not mental assent. Faith is not trying to talk yourself into it. For years, I didn't understand that. I thought that's what confession was all about. That if I just confess it long enough, I'll convince myself of it. But confession is coming into agreement with God. It's not saying it over and over again so you can convince your brain. Because then what will happen is you'll say something over and over again and over and over again, but it's really not born in faith. And then when that thing doesn't happen, you'll say, oh, this thing doesn't work. This is all a bunch of baloney. So Jesus told her, your faith has healed you. So faith will not be denied. And remember, faith always begins with God's word. Okay, we're not talking about just some harebrained idea you just came up with. I'm talking about you got a word from God. You got a promise from God. You know what God's word says about it. Faith is bold and aggressive. And I believe today, I believe there's faith in this house. I believe there's a today kind of faith, a right now kind of faith in this house. I want to tell you, in the first service, it was amazing. It was just kind of bubbling over. I mean, it was really just bubbling over. You could sense it in the atmosphere. I believe God wants to do the exact same thing in this service. I believe there's some possessors here today. And somebody's putting a demand on the power of God. And somebody is stretching out the hand of faith. That somebody is going to leave different today than what you came in. Somebody's receiving their miracle today. They're saying, it's mine and I'm taking it and I will not be satisfied with leaving without it. So where are you today? Where are the possessors? Where are those people of faith? Where are those who are ready to take your miracle today? You know, I know some people will spend their lives admiring the promises of God. Again, singing about it, talking about it. But I believe today that there are some possessors in here who are ready to stretch out your hand of faith and receive it now. We have any of those possessors in here this today? Why don't you go ahead and say, I receive it now. I receive it now. Listen, he's promised to meet all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Tell your neighbor, we need a right now faith in a right now God for a right now miracle. Now stretch forth the hand of faith and receive it right now. Receive it right now. Be healed today, right now. Be delivered right now. Live the resurrected life right now. Okay, just like the man who stood up here and was having a heart attack behind the pulpit with four blockages, and God cleared all four of them that day as we prayed over there. I just believe that God's doing that. Amen. Thank you, Father. We're just believing right now. We release that miracle right now. It's right now, God. It's today. It's this moment. God, you said you would do it. We thank you that you're doing it right now. Whatever this situation is, right now we release that healing. We release that miracle. Father, we thank you for turning it around. That which seemed impossible, I thank you that you're making it possible right now. This moment. This moment in Jesus' name. We release your angels, Father, by your authority to go and ministering angels. I pray send your ministering angels out to minister to them in those situations, Father. If it's a miracle of children needing to be saved, if it's the miracle of finances, if it's a miracle in some other way, I thank you for releasing your power into those situations right now. In Jesus' name, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We command obstacles to be moved. We command doors to be opened. We command resources to come. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. 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 Now, Lord, we're believing that you have done and are doing that which we had even many have given up hope for. And we thank you for it, Father. You're going to manifest it in the now. Even now, you're moving things around. Even now, you're doing things that need to be done that only you can do. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you need healing, specifically healing, you've been diagnosed with a disease, with a problem with a system in your body, you need some kind of a healing in your body, no matter what that is. Go ahead and agree for that too, if you need that. And we're going to continue to do this. Don't let anybody, I don't want anybody to be left out. If you need healing in your body right now, there's a system not working, an organ not working right. You've got some kind of diagnosis. Come on, just speak it. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you that by his stripes we've been healed. Lord, we're not looking for healing in the future. We're not looking for healing in heaven. God, we know that'll be, but Lord, we're talking about right here and right now. Lord, a right now faith arising. Lord, we thank you for the hope you've put in our heart. But I thank you, God, that we're reaching out now in faith right now. And I pray for supernatural wisdom as well, God. Lord, that we'll follow the steps you tell us to take, that we will not do things that poisons our body, that we will not be stubborn about things that we need to do, that you're trying to lead us to do. But Father, we thank you, even now, even now, even now, supernatural healing flowing. You said you were doing it today, God. We believe you. We take a hold of it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, maybe you're in here and you know you've been dealing with that spirit of fear and despair has been trying to just overtake you. Now, this is very specific. Come on, let's break the power of that thing right now in Jesus' name. We break the power of that spirit of fear, that spirit of despair. We take authority over you right now. You cannot wreak havoc any longer. You cannot control God's people any longer. We bind you up in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father. We thank you. You've given us the authority to cast that thing out. So we cast it out in the name of Jesus. We command it to be far gone away from the body of Christ, the children of God. I thank you for releasing people from that thing. May your Spirit, Holy Spirit, rush in and fill the void in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. That thing is broken, and it's broken right here and right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. One more thing. Now, if you need deliverance from anything, deliverance could mean some kind of a bad habit that's kind of controlling you, some kind of addiction of some kind. Pastor Mike Milley always says, you can either get your deliverance or you can keep your dignity, but you can't keep both. You can't have both. So if you need deliverance, this is very specific. It's just something that's kind of controlling you. It may be in your thought life. It may be whatever it is. And we're going to just agree with you to break that thing. It could be a chemical addiction of some kind. It doesn't matter. But we're going to break this thing right now. Thank you, Father. Lord, they're reaching out the hand of faith right here. Right now, God, I thank you that they've chosen to put down their dignity so that they can receive their deliverance. And Lord, we say now in Jesus' name, this thing is broken off of them. In Jesus' name, I thank you for turning the chemicals around, putting them back into balance, God. Lord, I thank you, God, for healing them in their emotions, Father. Lord, for exposing the lies that would cause them to stay bound by this thing. And I thank you for setting them free right now, in this moment, in this place, right here. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for liberty in your spirit. Thank you, God. This thing will no longer control them. Thank you, Father. And I thank you for supernatural strength, God. I thank you for a supernatural anointing that will hold them, that will keep them, that will keep them from going back to that like a dog to their vomit. Lord, I thank you for deliverance today. You are still the same delivering God that you've always been. And I thank you, God, now, they are free by the authority of the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for breaking every addiction, whether it be nicotine or sugar or something else, God. Every chemical addiction broken off of your people right now in Jesus' name. Lord, they've let the eyes of faith bring them to you, and now the hand of faith is reaching out to take a hold of their deliverance. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are the deliverer. And I thank you that you're here even now delivering your people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, that which is brought into the light gets dealt with. I thank you for the courage for bringing it into the light, Father God, that they're not going to deal with this and put up with this any longer. Thank you, Father. It's by your anointing. It's by your power. And by your word, we declare this now in Jesus' precious, holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And I pray that each one has such a desire, Lord, for your word. Lord, such a hunger for your word, such a thirst for your word, Father, that your word completely bring about a cleansing and a purification. In Jesus' name, thank you for it. Thank you for it. Now, won't you out of your own mouth begin to thank Him for it? Come on, just begin to thank Him. Thank Him for your deliverance. Thank Him for your healing. Thank Him for your miracle. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're so faithful, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So faithful. So faithful. Hallelujah. I declare that I am free in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.